Welcome, Medical Education's podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief, speaking with you again from a utopian Vancouver. We've had a week of absolutely perfect weather and hard to be inside. Nonetheless, it's made it a bit easier because I get the chance this morning to speak with Deborah Murdoch-Eaton, who is professor of medical education in the medical education unit at the University of Leeds. And we're going to speak today about a paper that she has scheduled for publication in the July issue of Medical Education 2012, entitled Maturational Differences in Undergraduate Medical Students' Perceptions About Feedback. Thanks, Deborah, for making the time available. I understand that you're doing this while avoiding flooding in Leeds.
Yes. We've had a lot of rain, but it is brightening up now gradually.
And the research success you're having, I imagine, contributes to some of that brightening at one level or another. Maybe I could just start by asking you to tell our listeners why you got into this research around feedback and students' perceptions of it in the first place.
Thanks, Kevin. Feedback is something that is perceived to be of such a crucial importance to learning. Whenever you're talking or training teachers or students, there is this perceptual gap, isn't there, that constantly students say they never get enough feedback, and teachers constantly say, oh, I give loads and loads of feedback. And within the UK, as well as I know internationally, there's a perception from an organisation, particularly when they're marking or getting scoring, like we have on the National Student Survey on assessment and feedback, that's always the category that comes out least well. So there's this drive and perception that more is better. You just need to give more and more feedback and that'll make it better. And we know that that isn't actually what happens. So I wanted to try and understand, what was it that students conceptualize as being feedback, and what did they understand about its role in learning, and how did they use feedback? And I thought there was so much that we were making assumptions about in terms of their recognition of feedback, what they use feedback for. So I was really interested to look at this, really try and understand it better for myself, challenge my assumptions, and also look at it in a maturational context, because sometimes we make assumptions over one size fits all, and students are individual learners, but also they're with us for many years, aren't they? They come in the UK, they come into their first degree at 18 or so. I know in North America it's older, but they're still with us for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and they change over that time, and we make so many assumptions over what sort of feedback they need. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think it's an insightful point. We do have a tendency to talk about the medical student as though it's a constant state, or that everybody's the same. And I think that is one of the intriguingly unique pieces of this paper, is looking for maturational differences. And what was the theoretical perspective or the prior experience that led you to provide that overlay on the topic of feedback?
Well, it came from reading the literature about so much of the work that particularly is coming to the fore now on self-regulated learning, and extrapolating from that about how crucial actually feedback may be to developing students, and particularly our medical students, who are needed to be quite independent, critically reflective practitioners, able to judge the quality of their own work. And it struck me that we were making so many assumptions over the types of feedback we were giving them and what they were doing with the feedback. So that was why also we designed the study, to actually investigate what the maturational change was in their perceptions around feedback.
And I know there's been some hint in the literature that when people express that desire for feedback that you're describing, what they seem to be expressing in part is a desire for reinforcement. And that seemed to have come out in your data as well, in addition to some other things. Before we get to that, though, I realize I should maybe ask you to explain for the listeners who haven't encountered the paper yet what you did to collect your data and why you did it that way.
Okay. Thanks. We used a mixed methodology, recognizing that qualitative data is incredibly rich, but there is the potential as always, within utilizing any form of qualitative methodology, that you're only serving what I call the interested minority, or those with a particular grudge to bear,
rather
than getting the views of the majority. So that was entirely why we went for this mixed methodology, and we ran focus groups at the beginning of the academic year, and we had focus groups from each year independently. And we had quite an open methodology, asking, you know, what their perceived feedback was, give us examples, how did they use it, and then analysed that. And from that, we then derived a questionnaire, which had both quantitative and qualitative questions within it, which we administered to the whole medical school and had a 50% response rate. So that was just over 1,200 students. We analysed that, but we then ran the focus groups again later in the academic year, because it gave us an opportunity to re-explore some areas perhaps that had come out in the questionnaire, or we wanted to probe a little bit deeper. So it gave us an incredibly rich body of information to look at. And our analysis was, we used around a contextualist framework. So it wasn't not only what they said, but it was to try and shed some light into the why and what they said and how it might relate to their stage in learning, their stage in the course, and other aspects like who was giving it and the situational area of how they were getting feedback.
And so to clarify, that when you talk about maturational differences, you're really looking at differences early versus later in the medical program. Did you also overlay the particular age of the respondents in your analysis?
I didn't. We do have information about that, but our medical school is predominantly homogenous. We have a very small cohort of mature entrants.
Okay.
Around less than 10. So to some extent, it was much more being able to look at the more junior students compared to the more senior students in terms of the years of the course. So it was around the stage of the course predominantly, rather than the age of the students.
Got it. That's very helpful. So I'm going to quote from your results, if I may, and just for the sake of those, again, who haven't read the paper, you say, maturational differences across the year cohorts within the program emerged in three general areas. One, their perception of the purpose of feedback. Two, recognition of feedback. And three, perceptions regarding credible feedback providers. Given the limited time that we have available for the podcasts, can I ask you to choose one of those three themes and give our listeners a hint of some of the findings you found most intriguing?
If I sort of summarize broad brushstrokes, the more junior students tended to come from a passivity and a reinforcement of, am I doing okay, and tell me what I need to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So the junior students were coming from what I call a summative perspective. The senior students were coming at it from a formative perspective, which was, what do I do with this? And do I need to know any more in order to be able to change my knowledge, my skills, my learning? What can I do with this information to move on? And there was that really nice maturation within that.
Right. So do you have any sense, even from outside your study, if the problem with recognition that you started this conversation with potentially occurs because the feedback that they receive is incongruent with what they expect or what they feel like they need at any given maturational level?
Yes and no. There were some really interesting differences in recognition of feedback, like the more junior students seemed to not recognize at all when information was given in a verbal format. They seemed to acknowledge and value and place credibility upon feedback that was in a written format, where the more senior students acknowledged the immediacy of verbal feedback and often the far more relevance to what they were doing. And tying with that as well, with the immediacy and relevance of the verbal feedback, the more senior students as well acknowledged the value of peer feedback and how crucial that could be towards their learning, and feeling that they really value peer feedbacks, where the more junior students often did not recognize feedback coming from peers, either because they didn't value it or place credibility upon it, or because that tended often to be given verbally. And as I said, they seem to have more cognizance of written feedback.
Right. And did that feed into the perceived credibility as well, or was that an independent issue?
No, I think the credibility was an independent issue, and I think that was sort of one of the take-home messages for us here, but I also thought that was quite an important point to tackle very early with junior students, that recognition that it's not just a senior academic who can give you credible feedback on what you're doing. And I thought that had a real important learning message for us to help our students recognize.
This is very important work. I think we have been seeing a growth in the emphasis on feedback in the literature, and hard to imagine given how much emphasis there has been in recent decades. But it does seem like the field's moving towards the point of trying to better understand feedback processes and when it's appropriate to use one strategy versus another, rather than simply saying that this is the algorithm that thou shalt use to deliver feedback well. So I think I would end by congratulating you on pushing the field forward in this way, and I look forward to seeing how the research line evolves for you.
Thank you very much. It's certainly a wonderful area to be trying to understand our practice better in.
And crucially important, as you made a case for very well. So just for the sake again of listeners who may have forgotten the title at this point, I've been speaking with Deborah Murdoch-Eaton about a paper entitled Maturational Differences in Undergraduate Medical Students' Perceptions About Feedback. They'll be published in the July 2012 issue of Medical Education. Thank you, Deborah, again for making the time to chat with me. And as I said, I'll look forward to seeing what comes next.